Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Those of you that are just now tuning into the podcast, we welcome you, coming to you live from Metron in historic, beautiful Midtown ATL. And this month, we're not really doing a teaching series. We're doing mostly a meditation, but I'm going to give you a little instruction about meditation. Let me say this before I share a couple of scriptures with you, and then we'll get right into it. And Charles, whatever music you've got, we'll kind of do what we did. I think we did about 24 minutes last week, which is that's very good. And let me give you some practical stuff. If you fall asleep, it's okay. If you snore, it's not. So if someone next to you snores, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, I might fall asleep today because, I mean, I've had about 2 hours, if that. It's not, I think when I went to that first meditation with Dr. Dispenza, I think I fell asleep a little bit, and it was fine. It's like I kind of came in and out of it, and I don't think I was, that when I was aware that I had dozed off, the person next to me wasn't glaring at me, so I assume I wasn't making any noise. But if someone does that, you can just feel free. I give you permission and tell them not to be offended. You can just put your hand on their arm and just make them aware of it. But it's okay. It's okay to be relaxed. Let me, three things I want to share with you very quickly. One of them is this scripture. It's out of The Voice, and it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And in the Voice translation, it says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust, you will find strength. King James says, in quietness and in confidence is your strength. The actual context, it's said in a rebuke. It's God speaking to the nation through Isaiah, and he says, in quietness is your strength, but you wouldn't have it. In other words, he says you wouldn't be quiet. But the truth of it is right there, that the strength is in the quietness. I keep something going all the time. For one thing, is because I deal with some ringing in my ear, so I have a tendency just to keep music going all the time, just to keep me not aware of it. But sometimes there's just too much noise going on. And I'm used to noise. I mean, I live right downtown, and I mean, there are sirens all night long. I mean, I live in a noisy world. But what I'm talking about is sometimes there's too much spiritual noise. I think there's just too much talking and not enough listening. And even if your ideas of prayer are very conventional, prayer is supposed to be a dialogue. It's not just supposed to be you dictating orders to God. It's supposed to be a give and take. I will tell you this. Something interesting happened this morning before I get to the second scripture. I had to leave kind of in the middle of the night to go take care of something, and got back home around 7:30 maybe, and I was going to try to lay down on the couch and doze off, but I could tell I wasn't going to. And I needed some direction. I needed it's a situation that I thought I need some wisdom on this. And I've never done this quite this way before. It was kind of interesting. I can't remember when I've picked up a leather-bound Bible and opened it. If I look at scriptures, I'm online, I'm on my device. I hardly ever use a conventional Bible because you know how I am. I'm all over the translations, whatever. But there's a big, it's not really a family Bible, it's a Dake Bible, and I know Dake had his limitations, and I don't agree with a whole lot of his commentary. But it's a big Bible that apparently my mom's siblings gave to my grandfather as a gift. It must have been a Father's Day gift in 1965, because they've all written their names in there. Each of the aunt and uncle and the kids' names to our dad. And I think some years later, he must have given it to my mom. I don't know if she asked for it or whatever. But today I thought, well, I'm not gonna go to sleep, and I've got a lot to process. So I went over and picked up that Bible out of the bookcase. And I'm long past doing the thing where you open up and put your finger there, because you can mess with your head big time. You know, like you're going through something and you open it up and it'll say something like, "Yea, the fault lieth with thee, and thou shalt be gnashed." And you know, it's like you can read way too much into it. So I'm long past that. But I felt my grandfather's energy on it because it was his Bible. And I picked it up and I said, "Granddaddy, I need you to talk to me. Tell me what to do about this situation." And I opened the Bible like three different places, and they were the most beautiful. They were all pertinent to what I've been dealing with all night and will still have to deal with this afternoon. They were all very, it was like scriptures like, one of them was, in six troubles, yea, seven, the Lord will deliver you. They were all like really powerful stuff like that. Very cathartic kind of stuff. And I did three in a row. Like, let me just, and I read the whole chapter. One of them was Psalm 27, which is so beautiful. It starts with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" I mean, there's hardly anything you could go through that you wouldn't find something in that chapter that would, I mean, it would be relevant. And I just read the whole thing, and there's one verse in there. And I'm reading out of the King James, because that's what Granddaddy used that he quoted. And I just felt like I wasn't picking arbitrary scriptures out of the Bible. I was having a conversation with my grandfather, who's part of the cloud of witnesses. And it was his Bible. And it was like he was saying, "Well, turn over here. Let me show you this." And one of them was, I had fainted unless I had lived to see the hand of the Lord in the land of the living. It was just beautiful. I hadn't read those passages, especially the Psalms in Elizabethan English. They just really, it's not usually what resonates with me, but today it was just what I needed. And I thought, it really gave me peace. And I thought, well, this is one of those situations that I have to believe some things get worse before they get better. And I'm just going to choose to believe that about this situation. And every scripture really is nearly like, as I opened it, I thought, please don't let me open this up and make this thing worse for me. You know, like, you know, darkness on every side, you know, go kill yourself, something like that. It was like none of that. It was all very just, you know, when you're kind of in that fragile state where you're just like, "God, go easy on me." You know what I mean? Just, I don't need the sword right now. I need the oil and the wine. And I got it. And I believe I want to link that with this: in quietness and in confidence is your strength. Second scripture, it's just very simply the little phrase that Jesus said in John 14:1. He says, King James says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Here it says, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. And one thing that I've learned from meditation is the whole thing about if you can inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth, not nitric acid, nitric oxide, goes to your muscles and relaxes you. And I've noticed a couple times lately when I couldn't go to sleep easily, I would just lay there and think, okay, I've learned some things about breathing. Let me just do that. And I lay there and go, and then hold it. And I can feel oxygenation coming into my muscles. And because, you know, when you're processing a lot of things, you don't realize it. But even when you lay down to sleep, you're still sleeping tense. You're not really relaxed. You're laying there thinking, I got to get some sleep. And it's not even like you're officially worried about something. It's just you're just aware of a lot of stuff going on and a lot of people that need you and are calling on you. And it's that's why this confidence and rest is really, really important. And quietness and confidence is your strength. If you don't learn to meditate, prayer is great. But if you don't learn to meditate, you're not going to be strong. I know prayer warriors that are basket cases. And yet I know people that are very meditative that seem to be calm in the storm. You know what I mean? They're very centered because in quietness and confidence is their strength, and they let not their heart be troubled. And then I want to connect the dots to this one, you know, the great poet Osho. I just really liked this quote. He says, you exist in time, but you belong to eternity. You are a penetration of eternity into the world of time. You are deathless, living in a body of death. And what that made me think of, you know, Paul said, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. I don't like to say you're in a body of death, but the thing is, we all are aging, and you know, that's it is appointed unto man once to die. But I love this, that it says, you are deathless, living in a body of death. Your consciousness knows no death and no birth. It is only your body that is born and dies. But you are not aware of your consciousness. You are not conscious of your consciousness. And that is the whole art of meditation, becoming conscious of consciousness itself. I don't know how to describe that, but when I read the last line, I thought, I know that that's true. I've done teachings about being pre-existent, and we've even considered the possibility that maybe we agreed when to come here, and Bishop Pearson has a whole teaching on that. And it's, I don't have any way to prove it, but something in me resonates with that. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you as Jeremiah. So there was an existence of you before you were born, and there will be an existence of you after you die. I think that's what you were feeling with your father. Your father, his body died. He didn't die. And there's a big difference. Don't you feel that anytime, you know, you go to see a loved one, you look at their body laying in a casket, and you look at him, you think, well, that's not them. I mean, you have a connection to the flesh, and you can look at them and weep like Jesus wept when he saw Lazarus's tomb. And yet, when you look at them, you think, "Yeah, I could bury this because this isn't the person that I loved. This was the house they lived in." It's kind of that way. Have you ever been moving out of a house and you have to go back in there? You've nearly all done, but you remember, "Oh, we forgot stuff in the attic or something." And you go over there to get one more load, and you realize, "I don't live here anymore." It's like the spirit has already left the house and you don't feel a connection to it. Well, your body is a house that you live in until you don't need it anymore. Now, we're all fixing it up, trying to keep it. I mean, I was reading last night, you know, things to stop aging, you know, and it's all stuff that you know, but it's stuff that you need to remember, like drink lots of water and blah, blah, blah. But no matter how much you push it back, you know, it's, come on now. You know, I mean, my mail yesterday was Social Security and AARP. And I'm like, I get it. Y'all know I'm about to turn 60. Got it. You know, and they're all about Medicare and when you could do this, whatever. I'm like, this is my new normal. I used to get magazines and hip stuff. Now it's like AARP. I'm like, okay. Y'all have made your point. Got it. But in the meantime, you know, we want to try to get as much of that 120 as we can. I was watching, the night before last, they were playing Frank Sinatra's movie, Hole in the Head. And there's a comedian on, I can't remember her name now, but she just died recently, and she was 105. And it's always encouraging when you read, like, wow, she just... And I saw her in an interview not too long before she died, and she was very, you know, very lucid and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I've already talked longer than I meant to, so let's bring these lights down. And I know there are hundreds of people thronging to get in here, but somehow, Wellington, you've got to keep them at bay. Don't let them in as much as they are lined up around the block. Do not. Say what? Oh, you know what? Maybe they are. They could be. That is. I was being facetious, but that is actually in the realm of possibility. All right. I think you all know the drill. So both feet on the floor, please. And empty your lap. And sit up straight. And we're going to get in position. Nobody's going to be photographing you, so don't be self-conscious. Go ahead and start me some music, Charles, whatever you got that's meditative. Music takes you somewhere that I don't know any other medium that does what music does. The sitting up straight is about... it's about aligning yourself with the best version of yourself. Probably want to close your eyes. Meditation's mostly about breathing. So let's breathe in through our nose and hold it. Exhale through your mouth. We're going to get that nitric oxide into our muscles and start relaxing them. So we're going to inhale, hold it. We're going to exhale. Inhale. Exhale. If you can't breathe through your nose, at least just breathe in a way that's consistent. But if you can inhale nasally and exhale through your mouth, that's best case. Spirit and breath, those words are used interchangeably in Holy Writ. So we're going to connect with spirit by our breath. God breathed into Adam. Jesus breathed on his disciples. The music is a little mystical, and that's good. This is a mystical experience. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that word. Of consciousness. Don't worry about trying to control your thoughts. They'll settle down in a minute. If they move somewhere, just gently pull them back to yourself. Calm your mind. Calm your body. Be aware that you're not just breathing out of your lungs, you're breathing out of the pores of your body. You're breathing out of through your organs, breathing through your skin. You get oxygen to your bones, to your muscles, to your ligaments. Some of you have been doing this long enough now that you can get right into it. You can probably do this in about 4 or 5 breaths. There. If it takes you a little longer, don't stress. You'll get there. I'm going to start talking less. Wean you off of my voice for a few minutes. Inhale. Thank you. meditate, the more you'll get in touch with your conscious self. You are more than your physical body. Align yourself with the you that's always been here. John said, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. You were in the beginning in God. So tap into that consciousness. The Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. That's where your consciousness is. You're a part of that eternal part of God. The breathing takes you through a door. Rediscover your divinity. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Life is in you. Light is in you. Peace is in you. Yourself and find what you need. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Go deep within yourself. With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Meditative state, I want you to think about one person that you're connected to. Chelsea sang two or three songs about being connected to someone. The lyrics were things like, I love you, I'm not going to let you go, that sort of thing. I want you to connect with one person in the spirit realm that you know needs peace right now. And I want you to intercede for them. I want you to meditate peace to them. I want you to communicate with them, not with a text on your phone. I want you to go out somewhere in consciousness and find them and give them peace. Speak, not several people. I want you to think about one person that needs peace right now. I want you to send peace to them. There's no distance in the spirit realm. Settle them down. Settle their spirit down. Just in your mind, call them. Let them meet you out there somewhere. I want you to visualize yourself giving them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Like literally putting your mouth on their mouth and breathing peace into them. It's the kind of thing you probably will never be able to do with them in the physical realm. So do it there. That's how God created Adam. He put his mouth on Adam's mouth and breathed the breath of life. Breathe the breath of life into that person right now. Visualize them. Breathe into them. Give them peace. Thank you. visualize them, heal them. Heal their spirit. Torso, down your back, your chest, your breast, your belly. Light flowing all the way down around your hips, your private areas, down your legs, your knees, your joints, all the way down to your feet, out the ends of your toes. Healing light, wellness, wholeness. The light of God, He sent His word and healed them. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Start again at the top of your head and go through for emotional healing. Wherever you're harboring pain and hurt, let the light go right there, right now. Where is it? Is it in your heart? Where are you carrying pain? Where are you carrying rejection? Where are you carrying harsh words that have been spoken against you? Let the light go to that place and expel it. Be well in your spirit, be well in your soul, be well in your body. relaxed. You're centered. You're in the flow. You're connected. You're tuned in. You're seated in heavenly places now. Start opening your eyes. If you need to stand up and stretch, you can do that. You just want to sit there for a minute. Start gradually bringing the lights back up. I like these chimes. Very cool. Thank you. Good. Thank you, Charles. Good. Good work. And not work, but you know what I mean. Good. It's good. I don't overthink things that I say during that because I think I'm just going to say what I feel impressed to do, but I think there's a place you can meet somebody outside of them. Go meet somewhere else and send that peace to them. Send that healing. There's other people who need healing today. Send that healing to them. Was this different for you today than last week's? How? What do you think? Or are you too relaxed to talk? I mean, it's a holy moment, so. Karen said last week was more about her receiving. This week was more about her giving out. I get that. Jackie, you going to say something? She was saying it was more internal, getting outside. Okay. Anybody else? What you feel, Allegra? That's interesting. Allegra was saying that she wasn't here last week, and she streamed, and she said the meditation brought up emotions that she didn't know that she had and made things come to the surface. That I don't want to put words in your mouth. What are you saying? And it made you deal with things that you didn't know were there. That's good. I mean, I don't think meditation is the end-all, be-all to every problem, but I think there's a lot more to it than we've given it credit for. And I think if you allow yourself to get into a meditative state, because I really believe this is what Jesus was doing when he would go away from the disciples. I don't picture him with a prayer list praying petitions. I just don't picture Jesus walking back and forth, speaking in tongues. I picture him meditating. I think when he was walking on the water, he walked out of a meditative state. Because he had gone somewhere, and all of a sudden they see him walking on water, and it's like that's, you know, we can talk about things like levitation and that sort of thing, but they did happen. They do happen, and it's good. I'm glad y'all get it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? She said the person that she visualized met it just texted her and said, I don't know what happened, but I suddenly feel so good. I just felt that really strong. You know, it's like, go find them and resuscitate them. You hear that in the spirit? Because you can't walk up to somebody and put your mouth on them. Hebrew word, N-A-P-H-A-C-H, nafach. And it's when, if you follow the Genesis narrative, God creates a facsimile of himself and literally inflates it. Like he puts his mouth on the mouth of his creation and blows life into it. And so when Adam's eyes open, he's looking face to face with himself. He's looking face to face with God. So there is a spiritual type of breath you can breathe to somebody. Anybody else get anything that you want to share? Right. Right. Oh, wow. She was talking about how even with cancer, when a body's properly oxygenated, the cancer can't live in it. The oxygen just, it's like, you know, it's like removing a rock and there's stuff under there, but when the air and the sunlight gets to it, it automatically, and that's the way your physical body is. When spirit, breath, wind goes through you, it has healing properties. Yeah, good. I love it. Yeah. Jackie said it helps you get in touch with your power. That's my point. It's like conventional Christian wisdom would be pray your power up. And there's a place for that. I get the whole thing about Paul writing to Timothy and saying, fan the flame, stir up the gift that's in you. There's a place for that. But there's also an even higher consciousness is to recognize that it's already in you. It doesn't have to be stirred up. You have to reveal it. And it's already everything that you need. And even with all the, I've always felt like all the superhero stuff comes out of people's desire for divinity. And every one of these, remember back in the day, back in the 80s when Batman came out and it was like the biggest opening ever? And now it's like everyone that comes out is the biggest opening ever. And Black Panther has a whole other thing connected to it, but it speaks to people wanting to get in touch with their inner power, especially people who have been told they were powerless. And when you find out, no, I do have power in me, you say, well, that's superstitious, that's fairy tales. No, it's a desire to be, realize that you're greater on the inside. Greater is he that's in you. And everybody thinks you're Clark Kent, but secretly you're really Superman. It's awesome. All right. Are y'all okay to drive? I don't want a cop to pull you over and go, ma'am, have you been meditating? Medicating or meditating? I'm not going to play the, I feel like if I play the ending, it's going to break the flow. So you know what to do. Thank you to those of you that give online. If you're making a check, make it JESM. If you have cash, pay it forward. If you want to bless Chelsea, since she's stayed, you're welcome to do that. It's fine with me. Part of me doesn't want to let you go. It's good. I'm feeding off your energies. Give me a minute. I'm feeling you. Can I have some of that? Do you mind? Do you mind if I plug in and take a little of that juice? You know what I mean? It's like, thank God for streaming. That's awesome. But there's something about not only seeing each other, but experiencing something together, experiencing a meditation together. It just does something that I don't even know how to describe. Peace that passes, yes, it passes understanding, no doubt. Okay, that's good. About how long was that meditation? Did we go longer than last week?
Yeah.
Did we really?
46.
Wow. Y'all were really good. Y'all, nobody got antsy. I mean, you got right into it. Like grown folks. So what? Ah, good. All right. Well, you're going to have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. Whatever needs to fall into place is going to fall into place, and whatever needs to get done is going to get done. And you have energy that we could call it supernatural or preternatural. The thing is, it's all in you. But when you take the lid off, and you let it come out of the heart are the issues of life. You're going to have a very, very productive week. You're beautiful. I love you. Peace. See you next week.